Welcome back to Sister Brunch, the podcast all about Black women and gender expansive people thriving in entertainment and media. I am your host, Fanchon Cox. Sister Brunch traveled to New Orleans for the Essence Film Festival this summer, where we had the amazing opportunity to interview incredibly talented filmmakers and writers and actors about their craft. In these next few episodes, you'll be hearing our conversations live from the Essence Film Festival's Filmmaker Lounge.
Hi, my name is Farida Abdul-Wahab, and I am a TV executive and associate producer of Sister Brunch Podcast. Sister Brunch is a podcast that highlights Black women and gender-expansive people thriving in entertainment and media. This weekend, we brought Sister Brunch to the Essence Festival, and today we have a panel with two screenwriters whose work have been chosen for readings here at the festival. So please help me in welcoming writer and author Brianna Cole and writer-director Eunice Levis. Okay. Thanks. Today, we just wanted to have a very Sister Brunch type of topic with you. And basically, the whole purpose of Sister Brunch is just to get a better understanding of how we as women of color can have different paths and basically to demystify what it takes to be an entertainment individual or entertainment professional within this industry. So pretty much would love to hear more about the both of you, a little bit about your background, where you come from, what inspired you to be a writer, all that good stuff. But I think a good place for us to start would be to start with you telling us about you and being a writer and where you're from, how you got started, basically.
All right, well, my name is Brianna Cole. I am an author, actress, screenwriter, producer, and filmmaker. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I attended Georgia Southern University, the real GSU. And let's see, I've got about 10 books published under Kensington Defina Books, which is a subsidiary under Simon & Schuster. I have been a screenwriter and filmmaker since 2018. I actually just got out of a writer's room last year on season 2 of Lace, which is currently streaming on All Black. Yeah. Let me just throw that out there, you know. I'm very proud of that. That's my first time in a writer's room. I've also got a few produced films on Tubi and Peacock. So yeah, I love to write, obviously. I love to write. I've been writing since I was about 6 years old. However, it took me a moment to kind of find myself. I didn't know what I wanted to write at first. When I went to high school, I started a greeting card business because I was like, well, maybe I should do more poetry and things like that. Did that for 2 years, and then when I went out to Georgia Southern, I majored in writing and linguistics. And then I was able to kind of tap into more of my creative side and my creative writing with books and things like that. And like I mentioned, only recently, probably about 2018, did I get into more film and TV because I'm also an actress. So I'm able to merge my two passions of writing and acting and producing those projects that we don't see a lot of, especially for the Black community. So I started with kind of adapting some of my books into movies, and that's kind of, again, where it took off from. And I've got a few projects optioned. And so, yeah, I'm really just diving into, you know, into the film industry headfirst, and I've enjoyed the ride so far. I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, doing a lot more with screenwriting. So I was very, very happy when Essence Fest chose one of my horror thriller scripts as an official selection for the film festival. We had a stage reading. It was great. So, and it was awesome to hear, you know, everything live for the first time, because as a screenwriter, you know, it's like you're in your head a lot. You get a lot of, you know, get some feedback maybe and you know, things like that. But that was the first time I had actually heard it out loud. And so I was able to make a lot of changes and things, because, you know, you never finish, rewriting.
Writing is rewriting.
You will rewrite until you're on set. Like, so that was great to hear. So yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell on a professional level. I'm also a proud member of the illustrious Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And I am a proud mother of three boys. So.
That's me in a nutshell, momager and everything else. I also have a working child actor who is he's 13. He's been in Atlanta, the TV series Atlanta. He's been on Woke. He's been in a number of movies and things like that. So yeah, we're all just the creative people here. Listen, I got to get my youngest two. I said I got to see what they're gonna do because I need to get them in this industry too. Listen,
wow, that's
a family that works together.
Just, right, so, yeah. You're out here doing so, that. I love that.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Well, Eunice, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about you? I heard you were from the Bronx.
I am.
Look at you. Like me as well. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So my name is Eunice Levi. I am originally from the Bronx, New York. My family's
BX,
still there.
BX.
And I am a first-generation American. I'm Dominican-American.
All right.
And I am a writer and director. Right. I sometimes produce by force.
As most people.
As an independent filmmaker, you know, you have to wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
I am here at Essence Festival, Film Festival, with my short film. One of my short films is called Invade, and it is a environmental thriller. It's somewhat bilingual, I'm just really, really proud of it. I have another short that is also doing festival rounds. It's called Rowan the Stardust, and that one is Oscar qualified.
Okay. Congratulations!
So we are doing
congratulations.
Thank you. We are doing the Oscar shortlist run later on in the fall.
Nice.
So I'm really excited about that. I've been writing for years. I started as a journalist. I used to write for a few periodicals in New York City, mainly a Spanish language daily called El Diario La Prensa in New York, and I also wrote for the New York Post. And then from there, I went into corporate writing. I was just really trying to find where, first of all, where I can get paid.
I knew that.
But also, I was looking for where my voice fits.
Very true.
So in journalism, it was fantastic, but it was very limiting. You know, it was limited to the beat that you were assigned to, but also to whatever the story was. You know, and it obviously it's not even documentary; it's very much real time type of reporting, and it wasn't very creative. So that would be unethical to make it creative.
Right, right.
So I went back to school. I went to NYU and I got my graduate degree there. And then I started. I just jumped in head first, similar to Brianna, and started writing all things. I'm very much a genre person.
Nice.
I love sci-fi and horror and fantasy. That is my bag. I do a lot of diaspora work. I love bilingual. I love to just have bilingual work.
Right.
So
right.
Whether the characters are speaking in English and Spanish and English and French, and I just love that. Just because, you know, the diaspora is thriving.
Right.
We are many things.
Right.
And we belong everywhere.
You said it.
So.
You said that. You said that. So one thing I wanted to ask you two about, because you both mentioned that you started out your career, like you were writers, you were always creative, you started out in journalism, you started out, you know, majoring in English and like writing greeting cards and poetry, which is amazing. And then you both said you jumped in head first.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, what was the turning point that made you realize, what influenced you, what inspired you, what was that trigger that made you realize, I need to be a screenwriter, I want to tell stories for the screen? What was that point?
I think for me, like I mentioned, as an actress, I came from theater and I kind of moved on into film. Okay, theater all day. Yeah. But I definitely got into more film and TV. And I think for me, I can't even put it to just one little catalyst. I feel like over time I began to see that there were more stories out there that I felt that needed to be told, you know? And it was one thing that I have been taught in my groups and workshops, you know, my acting groups and workshops and things like that, is that if you're having trouble, you know, kind of getting those auditions and acting, which is very competitive, you know, in the industry, but it was like, make your own content. Make what you would want to act in. Make what you would want to do.
Right.
And then, of course, after... I think what really was profound for me is after the Insecure season finale, and then there was a huge documentary after that, where Issa Rae spoke about that same thing, basically, where she was going to make her own content, and put it up on YouTube and kind of, got started through that trajectory. And if you think about it, so did Tyler Perry, so did Quinta Brunson. Like, this is just the stories that are out there, that's fine. But if it's something that I need to say, that I wanted to say it, you know? So I just stepped into it. Like I said, I started with a short film. And I put it up on YouTube, and it was okay. It was good it was a good start, but I just continued to learn and grow and network and just feed and thrive off of other screenwriters that I came in contact with, so I could just really enhance my skills, because I knew I wanted to be, kind of do it even more. So when I started doing pilots, and then I started doing feature films, and it just you cannot slow me down. Like, it's just one thing that's gonna motivate me. Tell me I can't do it.
Attitude and energy you need to have.
Just kind of was like, if not now, when? That's one thing too. And forgive me, I am long winded. Y'all gonna have to rein me down. I will keep talking. But one more thing, because I know I wanna hear what you have to say too. But one more thing I wanted to mention is that something that I remembered from Georgia Southern has always stuck with me in my marketing class. He mentioned that. It was so that Nike slogan was so influential because it spoke to everybody. Just do it. Well, just do what? It, whatever it is. I want to be a screenwriter. It, I want to do hair. It, I want to be an actor, or whatever the case may be. Just do it. And so I kind of would just sit there like, what am I waiting for? what am I waiting for? So yeah, I just said, hey, I'm just going to just go into it and just try, and I'll fail, and then I'll try again, and I'll learn, and I'll grow, and then I'll fail, and then I'll try again,
It's all
and
part
just,
of the process.
Just do it,
that's
.
Part of it. Absolutely. Yep. Wow.
That's incredible.
Girl, listen. I'm telling you.
For me, so, as you know, from New York, for me, my moment was Spike Lee. Being on the set of Spike Lee, just seeing him, he made film accessible to me. He filmed in the communities that I hung out with, people that I knew and with people that looked like me. He understood what made the fabric of the community, and I really love that. And then the moment that really changed, it's very much full circle for me. So the lead in Invade, his name is Elvis Nolasco. Folks might know him from Godfather of Harlem and She's Gotta Have It and Clockers and American Crime. He's been in several of Spike Lee's films and TV shows, but I didn't know that he was Dominican like me. And then one day I discovered that, and I was like, we really are everywhere. It was just a moment of like, how many more of us are out there? How many more stories can we amplify? Who can I be Elvis for? Who's gonna see themselves in me? And then that sprouts, that becomes a seed, and they start to develop. So very much in line with just New York guerrilla filmmaking. Right. That's what kind
running
of fed it
gunning.
For me.
That's
so it was very early for me. It's definitely in high school and middle school.
Okay. So one thing I saw you both mention was that you want to see more of yourselves on the screen, how do we see more of ourselves? And it seems like the only way to do it is to be the one to create it.
Yeah.
With that said, there are many different genres and, many different stories we can tell across the board. And I feel like Hollywood has a way of just having us tell only one story.
Yeah.
And most of the time it's mostly traumatic.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you too, you mentioned that you're into sci-fi and horror.
Yes.
What are the types of genres that you're into, and what would you hope to see more of the screen? Like, what do you want to create to put out there? What types of stories, basically?
Yeah, so I love stories where we have atypical protagonists. I like, so for example, in Invade, the lead is an undocumented scientist. In Rolling the Stardust, it's a grandmother in her 80s, and she is an engineer. And I want to see people stretch characters. I want to see women working with their hands, working with tools. I want to see us in different worlds. I want to see us slay dragons. I want to see us, you know, build rockets. I want to see us, you know, I love the ability in genre to do anything and stretch the imagination and inspire change. And it's a little bit of a fire starter, right? When you're able to not be restricted by reality, it helps you imagine a better place, a different place, and it might spark something where, you know, and question things.
Right.
Why
right.
are things this way? And it's just so limitless, and I love that about genre, and I think that is, you know, it's so freeing, and it's almost like what story is for, right? We as humans, we have story, make sense of the world through story, and that is the purpose.
Right. The story also allows us to expand.
Exactly.
If you see it, you have a better understanding of what you can be and what you can do, where you can go. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Definitely.
And Brianna?
And very similar to you, I love to watch everything. Yeah. I love to watch everything. So I love to read everything, you know. So my kind of thing is I'll write whatever it is I gravitate to, you know.
Right.
As I mentioned, Sundown is a horror thriller about a mother and son who are terrorized by KKK members. And it is definitely a racially charged narrative. And the thing with my, anything that comes from Brianna Cole, you'll see a little bit of myself inserted into each story, each narrative, in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yes.
And that idea came to me for Sundown over something that I experienced. As small as it was, it just kind of blossomed and flourished from there. So that's, but then at the same time, that's a horror thriller. I've also written a rom-com. I've also written a Christmas movie, which was a lot of fun as well. That's been optioned. I'm playing with an idea for a dystopian film because I love Hunger Games. I love what Divergent. You know, those types of dystopian movies. So I'm playing with that. So like you, I just want to see, you know, just. I'm not going to even say just limited to one genre, because again, we have a lot of, you know, industry individuals who've paved the way for us.
Yes.
I just want to kind of insert myself to help us continue to expand and continue to grow and continue to, you know, blaze those trails for, like you mentioned, those that are, you know, looking up and wanting to see themselves. I mean, just even as simple as Halle Bailey's Little Mermaid, you know what I mean? Like, and how many young ladies, you know, and girls were so thrilled to see themselves, you know, as that character in that moment. And even though that was a, you know, again, that was a live action of a story that's been told before, it's kind of along those same veins with being able to create something new for our community and things that we can relate to and things where you can see yourselves in other ways. Like you say, why can't we slay dragons and be vampires or be witch or whatever it is. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, I know I want to just kind of take up the reins anywhere, because without us, you know, those stories would never be told.
Exactly.
You know, only
right.
you can tell a story your way. You can tell a story your way. I can tell a story my way.
Right.
So if we don't do it, it won't happen. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, if I get an idea, I'm a research it. If I need to, and I'm a write it. Like, I'm a write it.
So. Exactly. Absolutely. I 1,000% agree. And this is, I love the vision. I love the goal. But let's not forget to talk about the challenges, especially as women of color.
Yeah.
How do you stay motivated and how do you keep going? What makes you, because this is not an easy industry.
No.
As a TV executive, I can tell you, like, I'm just like, whew, should I have, you know, sometimes I'm like, should I have gotten into a different industry, you know? But I don't regret it because I feel like I'm doing what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
So my thing is, like, what keeps you going, especially in the hard days? What is your routine like? Like, how do you, what is your writing practice like, basically? Mm-hmm. And how do you overcome the challenges or circumvent them when you're faced with them?
I think that lately I've expanded my practice of how I take care of my creative space and my creative time.
Tell us about that, please, because people need to hear that.
I used to depend on inspiration to start to write, or deadline for a lab, now I know that I wake up, I have coffee, I look out the window, I love looking at the sunrise, and then I know that, okay, I have to write, even if it's, you know, as my friend Craig says, even if it's a word, I write something, a thought. Sometimes I write a conversation. Mm. Sometimes it's what they're wearing. It's what they ate. Last night I came in after seeing Lauryn Hill.
And that was probably at like 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning because that ran long.
My brain doesn't shut off right away. Uh-huh. And I wrote a conversation about my character and how she felt after seeing Janelle Monáe perform. Okay. And I just, it was just a feeling that I wanted to retain. Mm-hmm. So I do that a lot. I use notes to retain kind of what I want to do. But I have a schedule for writing now that I try to respect no matter what.
Yep.
I take breaks. If it's not coming, it's not coming. I'm not going to sit there and hurt harm myself. Right. But I also, it's important to have peers. My circle is awesome. I feel super blessed to have them. There are people who understand, you know, most of them are ahead of me, but they're my colleagues.
Right.
And I call on them and I ask for, not even advice, sometimes I just want to be heard. And I get little messages here and there like, hey, I saw this, I thought of you, or maybe this will help, or, you know, why don't you call this person? It's your circle of people, that village is really important to retain your sanity.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's just about going and having a walk, meeting for a slice of pizza. It's your village is really important. I think that self-care element of it is really important, and I don't think that we've really learned how to nurture that.
That's real.
And so that's what I'm going back to. And another thing, like, I get massages now.
Okay, that's cute.
I get, you know, I do a lot of little things for myself now that I didn't do before because it was almost like the art was pain. And now it's just a release.
That is beautiful.
I think my process is, you know, very similar to yours in a lot of ways. I must say absolutely that village is very important. Yeah. Like I have very supportive family and friends who are constantly pouring into me. And one thing that I've said before is like, you can't pour from an empty cup, you know? So I definitely have, you know, a support system, which I'm very, very proud of, that pours into me. And, you know, kind of when I'm getting a little bit discouraged and, you know, they're like, excuse me, you know, you better get into it. And then when I look at my kids, like I said, my kids are 13, 11, and 3. So, yeah, I don't know. So it's one of those things where I look at them and, you know, and it's certain things that they may say to me that makes me realize that they're looking up to me, you know, and they're watching me. They're watching how I handle things. They're watching, you know, what I do, you know, and how I manage and things like that. So I'm proud to be their role model in that regard. As far as my other motivation as well, I lost my sister 2 years ago. She was 28 years old. It was absolutely unexpected and very, very traumatic. However, it's things like my sister was my biggest cheerleader all my life, my biggest cheerleader. And even though she was younger than me, you know, she and I had a bond and relation like no other. And one thing that I mentioned when I gave the eulogy at her funeral is that I'm not just living for me anymore. You know, I'm living for her. So I do have to sometimes take steps, you know, back just to really regroup. And like you mentioned, massages and doing things like that to kind of get my head space together so that I can come back fuller and stronger, because she's motivating me even though she's not physically here. As far as my process too, I write on the go, and like you, I had to kind of wait. I couldn't wait any longer for just that inspiration to hit. Right. You know, it's like, what do they say? The talent is free, but that hustle sold separately. You got to put a little, put a little work behind that, you know, behind that talent. That, and so you have to be disciplined too. So I did realize that, you know what, if I'm just sitting around waiting for inspiration to strike, two years went around, I'm looking like, ooh, child, I done wrote two words. Two words in two years. So it's like I knew I had to do what I needed to do to sometimes put, you know, self-motivation as well. Like, for example, recently, my birthday was back in May, and I took a four-day solo trip to Aruba. And I said, you know what? This is the kind of stuff that I need so that I can. Let me tell you something.
Aruba is lovely.
I had never been. That is the place to go. It's called One Happy Island for a reason. I'm telling you, I cannot wait. I was already on the trip in the hotel booking my name. I was like, you know what? When am I going to come back here? What kind of deals? loved it. But I loved it especially because I gravitate to water. So beaches and lakes and things like that, you know, you put me by the water, you know, it really helps with cleansing and that sort of thing without me getting, you know, spiritual and religious. Right. I'm not going to go down that route, but you know, just do whatever it is you know that's going to kind of work for you as far as help you with your self-care, whether it's massages or trips or, you know, just some alone time, or maybe it is painting or whatever that is for yourself. And one more thing, listen, this is why I love Essence Fest, and I don't even mean this to be a plug, but I sat in yesterday on some phenomenal women executives of Disney. I mean, all of them were, it was like five of them. They were all VPs of, you know, different components of Disney, whether it's ESPN, Disneyland, all that. So one woman, her name is Sybil Crum. See, this is how you know profound things to stick with you and you take it. One thing that Sybil Crum mentioned while she was speaking at the panel, she said that being motivated because, and realizing that when you walk into a room, you are representative of whatever it is that you're coming on board. So whether that is the LGBTQ community, as a black female, I'm a representative of the black female community. So not being scared or feeling shy or feeling, you know, so just standing up with a proud voice because, you know, I'm representative of the black community right in this space at this moment in time. Right. So being proud and walking with that confidence because, again, it's not just for you. It's kind of what I just said about my sister. It's not even just you anymore. You're representative of a whole community, whatever it is that you're advocating for at that time. So definitely kind of, again, taking these opportunities and stepping into that. And like I said before, realizing that, you know what, if I don't say anything, it won't get done. So I need let me speak up. You know, let me do what I need to do.
Speak up, yep. Right. Absolutely. Well, whew. Everything they said is true. That's all I got to say. Because same here with similar journey. I feel like I realized that, or I feel like when I decided to move forward to tell more stories about us where we see more of ourselves, that pivotal point for me was when I realized it wasn't just about me.
Right.
And that's when I was motivated to be like, I have to do this, you know. So, everything they said is on point. So, let me get into this question. Considering the festival weekend and whatnot, can you tell us, I'm just going to read it from the phone so I don't mess it up. as we honor and celebrate so many of our black icons this weekend, we are reminded of the importance of legacy and the people we come from.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about an early memory you have of learning about black history that made you feel more confident or that more was possible for you?
Mm. Oh my gosh, so many. Right? We have so many icons and figures. I think, you want to take it?
Sure. mine is a little more personal and small. So my father is from the Dominican Republic, and he's from a small city community called Quisqueya. Okay. And there, a lot of people were engineers, and his next door neighbor, she was an engineer during the race to space. She was part of a team that helped create some form of coil that helped the United States create a spaceship that the spaceship that we actually launched to the moon. Okay. She was gifted with a visa to come and work in Alabama.
Just a visa, not citizenship?
No, yeah. not
but
citizenship.
But no, we'll take that.
She came in as an engineer, and then she went back home and she retired. And she lived quietly, and she quietly had a picture of herself and JFK in her living room, along with Jesus Christ. And
that part.
And I remember visiting in the summers and seeing this picture, and then realizing, like, she's a scientist, and she works for NASA, and she's over here feeding chickens. And I thought, this is such a beautiful duality, right? And this is my world. And we are so, again, my repetitive narrative, we are so many things. Right. But here is this lady, her name was Silverita, and she's feeding her chickens, and she is making a stew, but she was also this really important element of American history, of world history. Yeah. And if I wasn't here to tell you that, you would have never known. That's my moment of, like, I have my ancestors to represent. And those stories are gone, but I'm here to tell it. And I'm here to inspire others to continue to tell it. And so.
And you're gonna write a screenplay on
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, it's called To the Moon, it's written.
Oh, no, see, look at you. You already wrote it, amazing, thank you.
Brianna? Well, of course there are, you know, we have, let me tell you something. Being black is amazing. Like, I swear. I just sit back and, I mean, it's not even trying to be funny. It's not even trying to sound cliche. But I just sit back and look at our history just and everything, like we were mentioning, like our ancestors and everything that we have, you know, gone through just as a whole and still going through, you know, and continuing to, you know, to push forward. And so I look at things like that and I'm just kind of like, you know what? It's just, it's really amazing to see. I know I would sit, my grandmother, she is, let me get it right, 92. Okay, I had to think. I was like, they told me wrong at first. They said 93, and she's 92, because she corrected me. She was like, oh, no, ma'am, 92. You know, and I was like, okay. So we had her birthday's in January. We had a birthday party for her. And the thing is with my grandmother, she, of course, at 92 years, has lived a long time and seen a lot and been through a lot and done a lot. She's had 10 children, four of which have passed away, six still living. And she'll tell you she's got like 30-something grand, 20-something great-grand, 20-something great-great-grand. Like, she'll tell you. Wow. It's a lot. But I know, you know, she's had me sit down and kind of write her life story off and on, you know, a little bit. And she's been suffering from dementia lately. So, I'm still able to kind of get what I can just through the family, you know, as much as possible. But, like I said, similar to what we were just saying, when you think about things that our ancestors have gone through and those before us have gone through. And I don't mean everyone from, you know, your family to yours to my grandmother to Harriet Tubman. Like we can go all the way back, you know, and really go down the gauntlet of everything that we have gone through. And I think that is also motivating in and of itself, because it's like, that's why they did what they did for me to do what I do. Does that make sense? We've had a number of individuals die and jailed and all this stuff to give us the right to do what we're trying to do. And I'm going to take advantage of that. Like, that's you know what I mean? I'm going to take advantage of that and use it and do try to do everything I can to continue that legacy and, you know, and move it on for those that are following in our footsteps, and they can one day look, oh, you know, just as we look back on some of our icons and those that, you know, helped pave the way for us, I would love to be, you know, in that list of names for my generation, you know, when they're looking back. So that's, again, those are the kind of things you just kind of reflect on when you're sitting and you, oh, I don't feel like writing, but you know what? Let me do what I need to do, because, right, you know, exactly. So, yeah, tomorrow is not promised to us. Let me do what I need to do while I have the opportunity, while I have the space, while I have these platforms, right, in order to take advantage of those opportunities.
Beautiful, absolutely. Fashion, did we want to do Q&A?
Oh, I think
does anyone? We're going to wrap it up. Does anyone have any questions quickly?
Yeah. Oh.
Yes, ma'am. Would you like to stand up?
Please.
She said.
You want
to? No.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome.
Tell us your name.
Hi, my name is Tylese Walton. I am a grad student at the University of New Orleans. I have one semester left.
Yes, congratulations.
I'm studying film production, so I've learned in those 3 years that I've been learning, trying to find my niche and the avenue that I would be interested in, and I've come across screenwriting. So my question for you ladies is, what some word of advice or some gems y'all can drop for me? How do I take my work that I have written and find a way to, you know, get into those doors so that I'm able to, you know, tell those stories and have platforms so other people are able to see?
Absolutely. No, huge congratulations, though, first off. That's awesome. I think what you're already doing is definitely a step in the right direction, even just coming and networking and being in the presence of other like-minded individuals so you all can feed off of each other. I know that your tribe, you know, starts even with your class and those in your circle. And again, that's where the networking starts. Like my producer and directors and other individuals that I've met, again, started as close friends, and I began to kind of branch out into groups, meetups, and things like that within my community. But what we mentioned earlier as well, make your own content, produce your own content, you know, like start doing your research and starting from there. It's like, you know what, you can start with a short film or they even have like mini shorts, and now with the wave of social media, you can just pop stuff on there and continue to generate that content, again, to begin to network and build your tribe. That's one thing Issa Rae said in the documentary about Insecure. She said that, you know, in the beginning, of course, there was no Insecure. It was Awkward Black Girl. And she just was like, hey, can we film in your living room if y'all don't mind? And she was back and forth between in front of the camera to behind the camera, you know, trying to just do that and just, again, getting her friends. I've had to do that. I'm like, you know what? I'll buy you some lunch. Can you please, if you don't mind, you know, can you act in this little thing for me real quick, you know, or if let me just bounce some ideas off of you. And, you know, again, finding those like-minded individuals so that you all can pour into each other and continue exactly what you're doing, the networking and just being in those spaces and going from there, because that's where it starts. You know, that's where it starts. And it's, you're just continuing to do what you're passionate about, write what you're passionate about, because if you're doing that, you know, it will come through. You know, your passions will come through in your words. And then you'll find those who are willing to pour into you just because they believe in you and they support you and what you're doing. So, huge congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah.
One huge part of my identity that I forgot to mention is that I'm an adjunct professor. I teach film at St. Joe's University. And something that I tell my students is, look for the film office in your local city. Mm-hmm. Usually they have a lot of resources and a lot of connections, and they do events. Go to those mixers, mm-hmm. meet other people in your city. In terms of just writing and expanding on that, I also think, again, the film office is a great resource. I think that you can start to look for other groups, even online, obviously, on Facebook.
Find your tribe. Cultivate your tribe.
Screenwriting groups?
Yes. Sometimes there are even people, in Clubhouse, for example. I don't go on Clubhouse, but I know that they have writer's hours.
Yes,
and you can go on and just quietly write, and it holds you accountable, quietly write with other writers. And then these people, you know, will become your peers. You will look for each other. Hey, I got a 5 o'clock writing hour. You guys stay on, hey, how you doing? And check in with each other. And that's kind of how you start to build your momentum towards where you want to go. But with the actual content that you have, I think that you have to kind of lose a little bit of, I know it's scary to share what you have, but if you step into those circles of peers, share what you have so that you can learn from each other, you can correct, you can rewrite, and start to really make your drafts as solid as possible. And I would also say read scripts.
Yes.
Read a lot of scripts. Yes. Because it'll teach you what you like, what you don't like, right. What pops for you. Personally, look for things that you already gravitate towards and see how those writers write. Right. And emulate them.
And kind of piggybacking on that, yeah, reading the scripts 100%, you will learn to love them. And then also even reading the scripts and then following along in the show, you know, on the movie or the TV show. So you can see you can absolutely see how it translates from words and how it's captured and any changes and things like that too. So 100%,
Yes.
And don't underestimate your generation having access to this.
Yes.
Use it. Be resourceful. If I can tell you one thing, there is no one linear path to this industry.
Yes.
And everyone's path is different. Find your own. Do not be afraid to go where no one has gone to find your own. Because everyone that's successful in this industry, most people of color that are successful in this industry, have figured out their own path to get there. And then everyone was like, oh, you're the hot thing. No, they've been doing that, and you just found out about it yesterday.
Exactly.
And writing is rewriting. Keep writing.
100%.
Yes. 1,000. You are going to get frustrated. Amazing. You graduated, but it's now the work begins. Mm-hmm. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to be like, why did I do this? If this is true and this is what you want to do, keep doing it.
Yes.
Keep doing it. Get up. Do it again, because it's in you overcoming those steps and staying consistent that you'll do it. All these festivals that you see apply to every festival.
Yes.
As a TV executive, I can tell you, we look at these festivals to find new voices. Mm-hmm. But we're not looking for someone who's just hot for one season.
Yeah.
We're trying to see the names that keep coming up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh, Brianna Cole, she has something this year. Mm-hmm. Next year, oh, look at Brianna Cole, she wrote something again this year. She's in Essence this year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at Eunice. Yeah. She did... you know, ABFF last year, this year she's doing this. Yeah. Wow, I should meet her. I should get to know what she wants to do. And they follow you. You don't know it, but we're following you. We're tagging people and we're flagging people. And we want to see your consistency. Because if you're consistent, then we know you're about it. And we know, okay, it wasn't a one. You weren't just a fluke and you didn't just write something special out the blue.
Yeah.
So keep doing the work. Stay consistent. It's going to get hard.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged. It gets hard for everybody.
Yes.
And the people who make it are the ones who are like, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So... they didn't tell you this in school. It's tough out here.
It's competitive, but you have a voice.
But you have the fact that you're here, you stood up, you asked a question, it sounds like you have what it takes to make it happen.
Yes.
So keep doing that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
One more thing. Something that we didn't mention is that writing, if you're choosing this is a job. It's
right.
A career. Respect it as a job. You get up, you write. That's how I've learned to really appreciate it. So if you start to think of it as like, this is my job, I gotta write for this hour, let's just say it's my job, you clock in, you clock out, but this is your job. If you start to treat it like that, you start to train yourself to be a serious writer and to really love the process of writing.
1,000% a job. Well, with that, we are going to segue to our Sister Brunch signature question, because it wouldn't be called the Sister Brunch podcast if we didn't ask this question.
Okay.
Kind of similar vein to what we just got asked here, but pretty much, you are sitting down to a Sister Brunch with your younger self. What are you both eating? What are you both drinking? And what do you tell her?
Ooh. Brianna, you go.
She's like, you go.
Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Sister Brunch.
With your younger self.
With my younger self.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, if I could tell my younger self so much. It's so much. I mean, I'll tell I'm 36 years old, so I'm like, I look back. Oh, goodness. Oh, wow. Okay,
well, let's start with what you're eating and drinking.
Okay, let's start with... Well, I know what I'm drinking. I'm definitely drinking a mimosa. I'm probably cranberry mimosa just because I love cranberry mimosas. Eating probably some shrimp and grits. I love shrimp and grits. Uh-huh. Really all seafood. But if it's brunch, okay, we'll do some shrimp and grits. And I'm going to tell her to soak up these experiences. Yeah. Like, soak up these experiences. One thing that I'm not going to say regret, but one thing that I remember when I was in high school and when I was in college, like most people, couldn't wait to grow up. Oh, I can't wait to get grown and da 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 da. I would tell myself to slow down. Soak up these experiences, because these experiences are what is shaping you to be the woman that you're going to be. So, of course, take as much time with your sister, you know, love on her. And just, that's one thing I feel like my parents and my family tried to tell me a lot growing up. It was like, stop and smell the roses. And I was always just looking for the next thing, you know, as we sometimes can do. You know, when you get a job, you're already working to this next promotion. You know what I mean? When you do this, you're looking towards something else. And it's one thing that you just need to sometimes just stop, take a trip to Aruba or wherever. Just stop, smell the roses, and soak up these experiences. Learn all you can from your circle. And again, you know, just take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way, because you're going to be a much better woman for it.
Right. Wonderful.
Oh, my God, my brunch. I would absolutely be having mango and queso frito.
Yes, I know that.
Definitely. And I will tell myself, own your weird.
Okay.
I was such an awkward, I'm still an awkward person, and I love myself awkward now. Like, I love it. I relish my weird. I love to see people, like, if I tell somebody something so weird, and they're just like, what the hell? And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
I own it.
And I never did that before. I never gave myself the grace to be like, you know what? You can be different.
Right.
And I love that about myself now. And I want to tell my younger self, it's okay. One day you're really, really, really going to love the fact that you recite Shakespeare, you know, for no reason.
Yes.
And that's it. I would love to have that conversation, actually. Like, awesome. It's going to be okay.
You're going to write it tonight.
I'm going to write it tonight.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. This has been our podcast with Brianna Cole and Eunice Levis. Catch us. You can find us on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. Our website is sisterbrunch.com. We are on Spotify, Apple, and all the podcasts where there are podcasts. And yeah, join us tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. again, interviewing fabulous filmmakers and wonderful women like we did today. And yeah, thank you so much. This was great. And I'm Farida Abdul-Wahab. I was your host.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank y'all so much.
Thanks for joining us.